Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. I'm George Taylor with you for podcast number 18 this week. Got a special surprise for this week's podcast. 2 weeks ago, we sampled a little from the Here Now Festival from 2015, but it didn't actually have any sound clips from that festival. So today I do, and I want to share with you two of the best sketches I heard during the entire festival. The first is an original play. It's called When Johnny Comes Marching Home, written by author Luis Gutierrez, and he won second place in the Marion Thower Brown scriptwriting competition. The author is co-founder and main playwright for the Tallahassee, Florida-based group Curious Echo Radio Theater. This drama stars Cynthia Darlow, whom you may have heard as the narrator for the Murder, She Wrote series, Richard Ferrone, William Dufres, who you know as Bob of Bob the Builder, William Chessman, Richard Fish, and Ryan McCabe. I'll tell you about the second after I bring you When Johnny Comes Marching Home.
Up First is an original play by Luis Gutierrez that won second place in the 2014 Marion Thower Brown scriptwriting competition.
The year is 1864, and a frontier woman is being held hostage by two desperate outlaws. But she's not afraid. She knows she has a protector, her brother, Johnny. She's not afraid because tonight, Johnny comes marching home.
Oh, hey, Earl. Are you done with the well?
Oh, not yet. I hit a large rock about 30 feet down.
Oh, that's a shame. What are you going to do?
Well, I could blast through the rock, but I don't know what trouble that'd cause. And besides, I ain't hit no water yet. Probably best if I start digging again in another spot.
That's terrible. After all your hard work. Oh, will that cost me extra?
Oh, now, Miss Lily, you paid me to dig you one well. The way I see it, I haven't earned that money till I get you that well.
Oh, you sweet Earl. Thank you.
I better get going. Now, I'll get a fresh start in the morning.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Miss Lily.
Yes, Earl.
Don't you go wandering out there back tonight. The hole's not covered up, and I don't want you falling in.
Thanks, Earl. I'll be careful.
All right.
I wonder who that could be.
Whoa!
Can I help you?
Lionel Bonner, U.S. Marshal. Are you alone, ma'am?
I expect my brother to return sometime tonight.
But are you alone now?
Yes, but why do you ask?
I'm looking for two dangerous men. These men. Their names are Quincy and Thomas Long.
What'd they do?
It'll be shorter to say what they didn't do. They rode with the Barrett gang, but they ran into some trouble in Eastfield. They tried to rob the bank there, but the town folk didn't like it.
Oh, of course not.
The people fought back, and most of the gang were either killed or captured, but the Long brothers got away. Some of the folks I spoke to said that they saw two men fitting their description heading this way.
Well, if I see them, Marshal, I'll be sure to send word.
Maybe you should stay in town tonight for your own protection.
Oh, I can't. Like I told you, I'm expecting my brother home tonight. If he came and I wasn't here, he'd worry. Besides, I know how to take care of myself.
As you wish, ma'am. I'm staying in town tonight. Come and find me if there's any trouble.
I will. Goodbye, Marshal.
Ma'am.
Oh, I should get some more firewood. Can't have the fire going out before dinner's done.
Evening, ma'am. That sure looks heavy. That's a shame. I'd help you, but as you can see, my hands are full.
I suppose picking up wood and aiming a pistol at the same time might be a bit difficult.
So why don't you pick up the wood and we'll both go back inside?
No!
Well, hello, ma'am. Did my brother give you a fright?
Let me go.
Oh, I don't think so. It's getting dark, so let's all go back to your cabin. It looks nice and cozy.
You heard my brother. Let's go inside.
I know who you are. They're looking for you.
Yeah, we know. Saw the marshal leaving your place. Figure he won't be back until morning.
And then?
Ooh, we'll just see in the morning.
What are you going to do with me?
That really depends on you. You don't give us trouble, we won't give you trouble.
So is that stew cooking on the fire?
Yes. It'll be done in a few minutes. I guess I should set the table.
Appreciate the hospitality, but don't move. Thomas, check out the cabinet. Make sure she doesn't have a gun hidden in there.
Sure thing. Nope. No gun.
Carry on, ma'am.
Thank you.
What's your name?
It's Lily.
Lily, that's pretty. Live alone, Lily?
Why do you ask?
Just that you're a pretty young thing living out here on the prairie. Farming is hard work.
How would you know that?
Hey, don't sass my brother. Ow!
Thomas, don't go upsetting yourself. Lily just don't know us yet. The fact is, ma'am, my brother and I grew up on a farm before the war.
Yeah, but no farm to go back to now. Burned to the ground.
I'm sorry.
What are you apologizing for? Just answer my brother's question. Do you live here alone?
Not for long.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm expecting my brother, Johnny. He's coming home tonight.
Brother, huh? Older or younger?
Neither.
Neither? It has to be one or the other.
Not if you're twins.
Twins? Well, don't that best all. You two look alike?
No, but we've always been close.
I'll bet.
Thomas, mind your manners. I'm sure what she means isn't what you're thinking.
And what are you thinking, Mr. Long?
I think you know what I'm thinking.
I'm afraid I don't, but I'm sure your brother does.
What's that supposed to mean?
I mean your brothers. You must be able to read each other's thoughts like me and my brother.
Free thoughts?
Sure. Since we were babies, I knew what Johnny was thinking, and he knew what I was thinking. Can't all brothers and sisters do that?
No, we can't all do that at all. Believe me, if I knew what was going on in my brother's head sometimes, it would save me a world of grief.
Hey!
Hell, if I knew you were going to tell every saloon girl between Topeka and Eastfield what our plans were, maybe we'd have been better prepared for what happened at the bank.
Don't blame me for that. Captain Barry just didn't plan it right.
The captain planned it just fine. Someone in town knew our plans because they were waiting for us.
Captain, are you in the army?
What army?
What my brother means is that the army we used to belong to no longer exists.
So you were in the war?
Yeah, we were in the war.
I'm sorry you lost.
Just because Lee surrendered doesn't mean we lost.
We're still in the fight, ma'am.
Just like my Johnny.
Your brother was in the war, huh? Which side?
He fought for the North.
Damn Yankee.
The war was a constant horror on both sides.
Yeah, how do you know that?
Like I said, I can read my brother's thoughts. I can also feel what he feels.
Are you saying you felt everything he felt? Knew everything he was thinking when he was in battle?
That's right.
That must have been quite a frightening time for such a young lady.
It was. It was especially awful when he died.
Excuse me?
Yeah, well, what did you just say?
I said it was especially terrible when my brother died.
Died? I thought you just said he was coming home tonight.
I did, and he is. Tonight, Johnny is marching home.
Oh, I get what you mean. Your brother's body is being transported here tonight.
No. What I said is precisely what I meant. My brother is marching home.
Oh, I'm sorry, lady, but that's not possible.
Well, that's what I thought, but when his commanding officer sent me a letter notifying me of Johnny's death, he didn't go into details as to how he died, but I knew.
And what exactly did you know?
That when the cannon exploded near him, it tore off both his legs and one arm. Not even his face was spared. The explosion seared out both eyes and shredded his nose and ears to ribbons.
How exactly did you know all this?
I told you. We feel each other's feelings and thoughts. Also, he sings to me.
sings?
That's right. It started when he died. I heard him sing, "My legs are gone and one arm too. I die, I die. My legs are gone and one arm too. I die, I die. My face is smashed and my eyes are blind, and all that's left are my will and mind. So just wait for me, 'cause soon I'll be marching home." And then he died.
So your brother Les sang to you from the battlefield?
About a month later, I heard his voice again. "With one good arm I crawl up from the grave, hurrah, hurrah. With one good arm I crawl up from the grave, hurrah, hurrah. I'm out of the grave and on the move. I'm out for revenge and I'm going to prove that I will be whole when I come marching home."
What is he talking about? How can he be whole again?
You know. Witchcraft.
Witchcraft? Now, you gotta be pulling my leg. You're saying your brother was a witch?
Actually, male practitioners are called warlocks.
Your brother was a warlock?
Is a warlock. Our family originally came from Salem, Massachusetts. I'm sure you heard about the persecution of witches that happened there. Our family went west to escape it.
You really expect me to believe that?
He sang me another song about 3 months ago. "I saw a rebel fast asleep, hurrah, hurrah. I saw a rebel fast asleep, hurrah, hurrah. I liked his arm, so I took my knife and made it mine, though it cost his life. So I will be whole when I come marching home."
Well, that's not possible. You're making up tales. Calm yourself, Thomas. No sense in getting yourself worked up.
Do you believe her?
Just letting her talk. We can't do anything till the morning, so it'll be a long night.
Oh, but you don't have all night. Like I said before.
Yeah. We know. Your dead brother's marching home. With one arm and no legs. Sounds more like he'll be crawling home.
Oh, but I only told you what happened 3 months ago. I didn't tell you what happened 2 months ago.
What happened 2 months ago? Thomas, don't encourage her crazy stories.
Yeah, I want to hear. What happened 2 months ago?
I saw it in Johnny's head. Understand, he still had no eyes and only two arms. He was lying in a wheat field, one of the few not put to the torch during the war, and lying right next to him was a scythe left behind by one of the farmers that day. Then he heard footsteps in the wheat. It must have been a soldier, because Johnny heard him drop his field pack. The soldier then laid down and fell asleep.
What happened next?
Thomas!
Quiet, Chris, I want to know.
But Mr. Long, I'm sure you can guess what happened next. My brother Johnny had crawled for miles on his two arms. As you can imagine, that made them powerfully strong. Johnny rustled the grass until the soldier jumped to his feet, and with one pass of the scythe, he took both those boys' legs clean off. I heard the boys' screams as they grew fainter and fainter. Then he died. But my brother got himself a new pair of legs. Then I heard him sing, "I got new legs to walk upon, hurrah, hurrah. I got new legs to walk upon, hurrah, hurrah. I'm getting stronger day by day, making them rebels pay and pay. So I will be whole when I come marching home."
Just the legs? Why didn't he take everything else he needed from that soldier? You see, Thomas, her story makes no sense.
Oh, but he couldn't do that.
Why not? My brother's right. Your story makes no sense.
The magic doesn't work that way. He could only take one thing from each person he found.
Legs are two things.
They are a pair, Mr. Long. Taking one leg would do no good. The magic allows for things in pairs, like legs, eyes, ears,
arms?
He already had one good arm, Mr. Long. Why in the world would he take two? Stew's ready. Should I fix you and your brother a plate?
What was that? You see what you've done? You've made my brother all jumpy. Thomas, sit down at the table, and you, ma'am, get him a plate of stew.
Should I fix you a plate as well?
I'll eat when he's done eating. I have a feeling you're one that needs to be watched all the time.
Why, thank you. My brother always said I was very pretty.
That's not what I meant, and you know it.
But you do think I'm pretty. I can see it in your eyes.
Lady, I may have thought you were pretty when I first saw you, but there's something deep and dark inside you that overpowers the pretty.
Where is it?
My brother. He's singing to me again.
What's he saying?
Thomas!
What is he saying?
My eyes were brown, but now they're blue. I see. I see. My eyes were brown, but now they're blue. I see. I see. My sight's restored and I'm almost there. Any rebs I meet had best beware, 'cause I will be whole when I come marching home.
You know she's just spinning us around with her stories.
Mr. Long, I'm not asking you to believe me. And you don't have to believe me, because he'll be coming home tonight, whether you believe me or not. And when he does, you can see for yourself whether I'm making up tales. Oh, looks like your brother's done eating. May I fix you a plate now?
What? Yes, sure. Thomas, watch her.
Do we have to keep pointing the pistol at her?
Yes!
Okay.
And keep your eyes on her, too.
Here's your stew. Sun's down now. I'll go light a lantern. You were both lucky, you know.
How do you mean?
I mean, you got out of the war intact. You have all your limbs, your perfect ears, your regal nose.
You trying to flatter my brother?
Just telling him what I see. Being brothers, you two share the same features. Same ears, same nose.
What is it now? Let me guess. Your brother. He found someone for the rest of his missing face?
No, not yet.
So what's he singing to you about now?
He's not singing. He found himself a horse and wagon. The wagon has one broken wheel that makes a funny sound. Oh, it won't be long now. He'll be home soon.
Quincy, maybe we should get out of here. You know, find somewhere else to lie low tonight.
Are you crazy? It's dark out. We head out now, we'll get lost.
I don't think we should be here when...
When what? When her dead brother, Johnny, comes marching home?
I don't feel good about this, Quincy. I really don't.
Trust me, no one is coming through that door tonight.
He's coming. My brother's coming.
Quincy.
Stand your ground, Thomas.
He's still missing his ears and his nose. If you stay, he'll be complete again.
Lady, I'm gonna shoot whatever comes through that front door.
Go ahead. Johnny's already dead. I'm sure he won't mind the little inconvenience.
Quincy!
He's here.
I'm not staying here, Quincy. I'm heading out the back door.
Thomas, come back here. Come back here. Thomas! Thomas, where are you? Thomas! Ah!
Johnny, you're finally home.
Hey, Lily. Who was that? I thought I heard voices.
Oh, just a couple of wanderers stopping by. I gave them a meal.
You are always so big-hearted. I worry about you when I leave you by yourself.
Now, Johnny, you had to take the crops to market. Besides, you know I can take care of myself.
Yes. Yes, I know you can.
Oh, don't go out back tonight. Earl tried to dig a well, and there's a 30-foot hole back there. I wouldn't want you to fall in.
Any water?
No, but he'll try another spot in the morning.
Well, I hope nothing falls in during the night.
Well, it wouldn't matter, because Earl's going to fill in that hole first thing, before he starts digging a new one. Not to worry. We'll have our new well in no time. Oh, you must be starving. Go wash up. I'll fix you a plate of stew.
All right.
Thank you.
Johnny Comes Marching Home featured Cynthia Darlow as Lily, Richard Fish as Earl, Bill Chessman as Sheriff Bonner, Richard Ferrone as Quincy, Bill DeFreeze as Thomas, and Ryan McCabe as Johnny. Live sound effects by Tony Brewer, with accompaniment by the BCR All-Stars.
Our second play is a short comedy based on The War of the Worlds, and our MCs, Scott Brick and Dion Graham, will introduce the play for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, this year is the 100th anniversary of the birth of the legendary producer, director, actor, and writer, Mr. Orson Welles.
Now, Orson is probably best known today to audio fans for his historic 1938 Halloween broadcast of H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds.
Now, many people don't remember, but H.G. Wells' story took place in England in the 1800s. Orson modernized his version so that it took place in 1938 in America.
And that got Scott and I to wondering, how would it sound if the War of the Worlds was happening today?
Ladies and gentlemen, we present the end of the War of the Worlds as we know it.
Good afternoon, and welcome to C-SPAN Radio's Washington Today. I'm your host, Orson Wellesley. Today, we'll be continuing to cover the nation's top story, the complete destruction of the United States by invading aliens from the planet Mars. As I am sure you are already aware, last Tuesday, scientists at the Mount Jennings Observatory recorded flashes of light originating from the planet Mars. 2 days later, on Thursday, officials from NORAD recorded numerous unidentified flying objects entering the Earth's atmosphere. Last Friday, the first of those UFOs landed in a farm in Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Shortly thereafter, large, tentacled creatures emerged from the UFOs and began killing everything in sight. Since then, more UFOs landed at sites up and down the eastern seaboard. As of today, the cities of Boston, New York, and Philadelphia are in flames. Experts are certain that Washington is their next target. So, we'd like to go to the phones now to get your thoughts on these latest events. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Orson. This is Nick from Columbus, Ohio. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really concerned about what's going on. Do you think this alien invasion is going to affect my wireless service?
Good question, Nick. Seeing that most of the eastern seaboard is completely destroyed, it might. But you should probably check with your carrier to find out for sure. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Orson. My Netflix programs are streaming much slower. Do you think this is because of the invasion? I mean, Orange just went live on Friday, and I've only seen half of the Can't Miss episode.
I really don't know. Probably. Caller, you're on the air.
Fox News is saying this whole invasion is Obama's fault. This is what happens when you're soft on illegal aliens.
Yes, thank you for that. Caller, you're on the air.
Are we all going to die?
Well, so far, the military has been unsuccessful in stopping this invasion, and hundreds of thousands of people have perished in the last week, so I would have to say there is a good chance we are all going to die.
That's what I thought, but my question is, how is this going to affect my rollover minutes?
Excuse me?
My rollover minutes. Will I be able to get credit for them?
I really don't know. Again, call your carrier. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Orson. I have to say, I'm appalled by the incredibly stupid questions these people are asking. I mean, what is wrong with these idiots? We are all going to die. We have to do something. So I've started two Twitter feeds. Hashtag march and suck, and hashtag thanks for nothing, Obama. We all need to start retweeting this and get these hashtags trending.
Yes. Thank you. I'm sure that's going to make a big difference. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Orson, I have a question. I've already bought advance tickets to the new Star Wars movie coming out this fall.
God.
Do you think this invasion will delay the release of the movie?
Well, caller, by this fall, most of the population of the United States will probably be dead, so it just might. I mean, if we're all dead, what's going to run the movie projector? What is wrong with you people? Don't you get it? We're all going to die. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Orson. I work at a multiplex movie theater, and you should know that all the projectors there are run by a central computer, so even if we are all dead, you could still see the movie.
Well, thank God for that. That's it. I give up. I know this is C-SPAN and I'm supposed to stay calm and listen to you morons no matter how stupid your calls are, but enough is enough. We're all going to die, you friggin' idiots. And all you care about is your rollover minutes. I mean... Wait, what? Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed a note. It seems the invasion has ended. The aliens are all dead. Experts think their immune systems could not resist common Earth germs and viruses, and they have all died. Well, there you have it. Mankind on the brink of extinction, our mightiest military force useless, and in the end, we are all saved by the smallest of the small, the humblest organisms. It makes you think. It makes you wonder. Caller, you're on the air.
Those aliens would still be alive if it wasn't for Obamacare. This proves those death panels are real.
Yeah, thank you for that. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Orson. I called in earlier. I just want you to know my Netflix is streaming much faster now.
Amen for that. Well, that's all the time we have for today. After the break, we'll be going live to the floor of the House where they'll be voting to repeal Obamacare for the 60th time. You're listening to Washington Today. That was written by Nicholas Kalabzik, an NYU film student from Berlin, Germany, with assistance from Tom Curley.
Hope you enjoyed these two excerpts from the Hear Now Audio Festival. Those are directly from the 2015 festival. That's some of the stuff we heard on Saturday night. That's all the time we have for today's Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. Join us next week as the Narration by George podcast is once again new on Wednesday.